tonight. We're going to go right through it, and let's pray and hope that the Lord just opens up the riches of the testimony he's left for us. He's left us a record of this event, and there's just some pretty precious truths in the details. It's meditation that draws them out. You can read through a story and just get what's on the printed page, but you can meditate on a story and get this, what the Spirit will give you from the Lord that's far richer and far deeper than just the basic facts. Last week we mentioned that Abraham called his most faithful servant to him, and he made him swear an oath. He asked him to put his hand under his thigh and to swear an oath that he would not take a wife for his son Isaac from the Canaanites, but he would go to the land where Abraham had come from, among Abraham's own relatives, and get a wife for his son from there. And so we're picking up with that part of the story tonight when the servant responds. So the servant said to him, "Perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came?" I want you to learn something from this. We can ask God questions. When God gives us an instruction, it's okay to ask questions about it. We don't always know why he asked. He's not offended that we ask him questions about his will. Abraham wasn't expecting his servant to just go blindly. He didn't say to him, "Oh, just be quiet and do what I say." The servant had sincere questions. He's thinking about it. What if the woman is not willing to follow me to this, back here to this land? Must I take your son back to the land from which you came? What do you think Abraham's answer was? But Abraham said to him, "Beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, 'To your descendants I give this land,' he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there." So he was, before we read verse 8, do you see? God had called Abraham to leave your country, leave your people, leave your father, and go to the land I will show you. And several times in this 25 to 35 year period of Abraham's life, God had reaffirmed his promise that it would be this land, the land you see now, the land you're standing on, the land that you're dwelling in now as an alien and a stranger, as a temporary resident. It's this land. So he tells his servant, full of faith, "No, my son is not going back to where God called me to leave. This is the land he's promised me, and this is where you're to bring my son." And then he answers in verse 8, "And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath." That's reasonable. He's not asking the servant to do what he can't do. Abraham can't see everything. So if the woman is not willing to come back, you're released. Only do not take my son back there. So even if he's telling him, even if you think you find the woman, that right woman, and she's not willing to come here, you are not to take my son back there. So the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed. Now, Abraham was rich in both camels and donkeys. So why camels? Why camels? He took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. In other words, something, every type of riches that God had blessed Abraham with, the servant took a sampling of, and he loaded up 10 camels and a group of servants and and this and these camels were to make the journey. Well, camels travel much faster than donkeys do. And so for speed of travel, camels would be the way to go. And so he arose and he went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. Now this is about a 500 mile journey. And the camels can travel between 18 and 20 miles a day. So this journey would have taken about a month. So the servant and some fellow servants and 10 camels loaded with all samples of everything that Abraham had been blessed with began this journey. And he came to the city of Nahor, and he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening, at the time when women go out to draw water. Now, why would women go out to draw water in the evening? It's cooler, right? And they're going to need water at night. If you run out of water in the middle of the night, it's not like you're going to have street lamps out there on their way to the well. Okay, so you want to make sure you have sufficient water to start the next day for your dinner, and it is cooler. And so you're going to go out. This is the time that women go out. So this man, now think about this. Look at the prudence of the servant. He arrives there and he's thinking. He knows he's been given a commission, but God expects us to use our brain. He's thinking, how can I meet some women? Where am I going to start? Oh, they come to the, I'll come where they come to. Now, that doesn't mean you should go to the bars, guy. You know, unless you want to marry that kind of woman. Now, there'll be someone there, you know, but you're going to get what you're looking for. Now, so Abraham's servant uses his wisdom. And he's going to see, okay? And he's not just using his mind, he's thinking in his heart as well. Look at what the story goes on. Then he said, he's praying. He's not just using his mind, he's praying. We do both. Paul said, I will pray with my spirit and I will pray with my mind. We use our head and we seek God with our heart. We do what we can. And we ask God for areas we're unsure of. So now he begins to pray. He's there waiting. And he says, oh, Lord, God of my master Abraham. Isn't that interesting? He didn't say, it's not even, oh, Lord, my God. It's God of my master Abraham. But it's interesting. Do you think he believes Abraham's God is real? Yeah. Evidently so. By watching Abraham, he believes in Abraham's God. I hope that's the effect of our lives on others, that they watch us and they, even if they are slow to have their own relationship with God, they will see our relationship with God and it will make the right impression. He asked God, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. It's not even about make my journey short. It's not a selfish prayer. The heart of a servant is for his master. And you know why many of our prayers are not answered? According to the book of James, it says, and when you ask amiss, that you may spend what you get on your own lust. You know what? Oftentimes when we're asking, if we're in trouble, we're asking God to give us relief. Why? We just want relief. Do we want the lesson? Do we want the riches of what he is intending to do? Are we asking God to perfect his work in us? Is it about his will? Is it your kingdom come? Your will be done? You know, hallowed be your name. And can you see why Abraham chose this servant? This servant is there with Abraham to please Abraham and to do Abraham's will. But he asked the Lord, show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now, and he, He receives some direction even as he prays. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink. And she says, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink. Let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. So he thinks, all right, here's what he has in mind. Cause if I ask a young lady for a drink, and she says to me, drink, and then here, I will also give your camels a drink, let her be the one you've appointed. So he's got an idea. Now he's got something to look for. And I want you to watch this servant as this sequence goes forward. And it happened before he had finished speaking. Oftentimes this is true. Do you know that there are several scriptures that say, before they call, I will answer? And you know, oftentimes God has already had the answer on the way before you even knew what to pray. And God is already at work. God has gone before. Abraham's back there praying, right? He is saying the Lord will send his angel. He will go with you. And God is now at work. So before the servant has even finished speaking his prayer, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother. There he is. Right place, right time, right people. Here Rebekah comes out with her pitcher on her shoulder. And now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin. No man had known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. Remember, when you picture a well, you're thinking this, you know, this round thing with stones that you let down a bucket into. These kind of wells that they had were deep. They often had to excavate a lot of dirt to get to them. You walked down into where the water was, and you came back out. So she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, came up. And now watch the servant. You know, when you're praying and asking God to do something in your life, don't sit there on your rear and do nothing. Look what the servant did. What did he do? He ran. He acted. He moved. He's cooperating with God. He's going to run to this person to see. And so he does his part. And he said, please let me drink a little water from your pitcher. All right, let's see what's going to happen. What do you think is going to happen? And she said, drink, my lord. Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. Aw, too bad. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. Now that's pretty amazing. You know what's so amazing about that? I looked into how much water a camel could drink. You know how much water a camel drinks? 30 gallons at a time. How many camels were there? 10. 10 times 30 is 300 gallons. So this young lady was, and I want you to catch this. Look at the character of this young lady. I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. What a statement. Who raised this young lady? Who raised her? Can you imagine a Canaanite woman doing that? That's a servant. That's a person who puts the needs of others before them. And she didn't just, look, she ran back to the well. She did this joyfully. What a heart. You know, Jesus said this among his disciples. You remember what time, the time his disciples were arguing about who was going to be the greatest? And he had to come along and he wanted to set them straight. You remember what he said about being great? If you want to be great, in the kingdom of heaven, what should you be? The servant of all. And let me tell you, guys, you can spend your life looking to make yourself happy and never find it. When you find the joy of wanting to be a blessing to someone else, Jesus said, he who loses his life for my sake shall find it. What was he saying? He said, stop trying to live for yourself. It's more blessed to give than to receive. We lose that old vain life of trying to satisfy yourself and discover the secret joy of making others happy.
Brother,
yes, Rudy.
Please correct me if I am wrong, as most of the time I am. But there is no indication, as far as I have read, that the extended family of Abraham, they were believers in one God. They came from a land of paganism.
Right.
And even though they live in another town, Abraham wanted one of his own kin.
Yes.
Not so much because they were spiritual, but because their morals were a little bit better.
It was because of the family.
Right.
You know, you do marry the family. Have y'all figured this out?
Tell me about it.
Yeah, you marry the family. And so you should know that. And I believe that Abraham knew how his father had raised his sons. So
they were not believers in one God.
Right. What he knew was they would be people of character.
Yeah.
And they would have a morality about them. And you see it demonstrated. Now, let's say a woman carries a pitcher. Let's say it was a big pitcher, okay? Let's say the pitcher could hold 3 gallons. She only had to make 100 trips to the well. You know? We don't know how many trips it was. But what we know was she didn't just say, I'll give your camels a drink. She said, I will draw water for your camels until they have finished drinking. She stated her intention to serve to the uttermost. What a blessing. God couldn't have made. Now, what's amazing, what's happening is, look what it says the servant's doing. And the man was wondering at her. You know, because this took a while, didn't it? And the servant is sitting there. He knows what he's prayed, and his eyes are glued on her, just watching her. And he's probably dumbfounded. I mean, a mixture going on in his heart, just ready to jump up. But he is not going to interrupt. He's going to wait and make sure that the entire thing he had asked was fulfilled. So he remained silent as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. So it was when the camels had finished drinking, then the man took out a golden nose ring weighing half a shekel. That's about 6 ounces. Okay? About 6 ounces. Now, 6 ounces is 2 ounces less than half a pound. So this is a little bit heavy. That's a little bit heavy. Now, why a nose ring? Well, a nose ring was the most common form of betrothal. Is when someone was betrothed, it was indicated by a nose ring, usually in the side of the nose, not necessarily the middle, but in the side. And so he has a gold, 6 ounces of gold is a rich piece of jewelry, and 2 bracelets for her wrist, weighing 10 shekels of gold. Now, if a half a shekel weighs 6 ounces, okay, then a shekel weighs 12 ounces. This is 120 ounces of gold. That's a little less than 10 pounds. These are two bracelets that are that thick and heavy that they weigh almost 4 pounds apiece. Wow. This young lady is rich, right there. Is it? And why? Why is the servant doing this? Because he is there to say, what do these riches declare? And I want you to know, so what do these riches declare? What do they say loud and clear? What are they saying loud and clear?
The blessings of God.
God has blessed my master. I'm going to ask y'all, is that your testimony? You come here hardly bringing anything, nothing to give the Lord, hardly anything, or do you come saying, God has blessed me, and I want to bring what he has blessed me with and share it with you? How do you live your life? I have nothing. I'm so poor. God hasn't blessed me. Or do you give what you have? Because even if it's small, you say it's God's blessing, and you want others to know God has blessed you, and you want to give it, and you want a testimony that God has been good to me, and here it is. Because a lot of people don't do that. A lot of people give off the impression that, woe is me, and I don't have much. And it doesn't take much. Remember the woman? Jesus was standing by the temple treasury, and the people were coming in, and many rich people were dumping their huge amounts of tithes and offerings into this. It was a big, long brass cylinder, and as they would pour the coins in, it would sound like a slot machine, you know, emptying out its coins. And this little widow comes along, and she puts in 2 mites, about a half a penny worth. And Jesus said, you see that widow? She has put in more than all these others, because she has given from even her desperate situation, and they've just given out of their abundance. So you see, it's not how much you give. It's that you purpose in your heart, I will give. And you're not giving because God's poor. You're giving as a testimony. It's just recognition that God is good, and you want him to have that testimony. So now she has this gold nose ring and these heavy weights on her wrist. And he asked, whose daughter are you? Tell me. Remember, the scripture says it's written backwards. He didn't know at first who she was. We know it was Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. But he doesn't know that. That's the story is written, you know, looking backwards. So now he's going to ask, who are you? And you know, he gives her the stuff before he even finds out who she is. That's faith. That's faith at work. So she said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, whom she bore to Nahor. Moreover, she said to him, we have both straw and feed enough and room to lodge. And look at what the servant did. He did something that I don't do very often, but when things like this happen, I do it. I get down on my knees and I bow my face to the ground and I bless the Lord, because I realize a holy thing has happened. God has answered prayer. He has caused something that no human could bring about. It's not chance. He knows God has worked, and he worships. He literally bows down to just worship God. And it is a beautiful experience. And I hope if when something strikes you in a way, you hear the voice of God that clear, or something so wonderful happens to you, the Lord touches you in such a way. I hope you can experience this where you're overwhelmed. You really don't even know what to say. You just fall down and you just realize, wow, God, what you have done. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth towards my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. The Lord led me. Now, did he know that was happening? You know, the Bible, there's a verse in the Bible that says, a man's goings and comings are of the Lord. How can then anyone understand his way? We don't often know sometimes how God is leading us. But when we discover, when it dawns upon us, when we realize all of a sudden that, wow, God led me, here I am. Even the servant didn't hear a voice, right? He had the idea. He went to the city thinking, because Abraham had probably told him, this is the area to go to. But the idea about sitting by the well and the idea that came to him about the young woman and what to ask her and all of that, when it all comes together and it's clearly God, you just know that the Lord was leading. So he led me to the house of my master's brethren, just as Abraham had asked him to go. So the young woman ran and told her mother's household these things. She's pretty healthy after 80 or so trips up and down the well. She's still got energy to run. And she's wearing all the gold. And now she's going to show up with 2 4-pound gold pieces on her wrist and a gold 6-ounce gold nose ring hanging from her nose. And I imagine that was quite an event when she runs into her brother. Now, Rebecca had a brother whose name was Laban. And Laban ran out to the man by the well. Now, notice there's no mention of Nahor here. You know, it's like I believe if Dad and Mom were both there, he would have been included in this story. But evidently, he has passed on because there's no mention of Nahor here. Just Laban, her older brother, and, of course, her mother. She enters the picture here. So it came to pass when he saw the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrist, and when he heard the words of his sister Rebecca saying, thus the man spoke to me, that we went to the man, and there he stood by the camels at the well, and he said, come in. So he when he hears Rebecca's story, he runs out, and her brother, Laban, says to Abraham's servant, come in, O blessed of the Lord. Isn't that precious? Abraham's blessing was upon everyone in his home. And so this man could recognize this person was under the blessing of God. God is with you. God has led you. He is at work, and he invites him in. Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house and a place for the camels. So then the man came to his house, and he unloaded the camels and provided straw and feed for the camels. There's a verse in Proverbs that I love. It says, the righteous man careth for the needs of his beast. Even in all this commotion, he has not forgotten that these camels have had a long journey, 25 days or so of journey, about a month long.
Loaded.
And so he takes care of them. He remembers in the midst of all of this to provide for their needs. And then look, here is that beautiful testimony of, we've heard of this in the New Testament. You remember what's one of the first things that happened in the Last Supper? We don't often talk, we know about how they broke bread and they took the cup, but what happened before that? Remember what Jesus did? He washed the feet of his disciples, because these men have come on a hot journey and they're all dusty. And so what happened is, as they sit down, it was very common in their day to, as a sign of hospitality, as a sign of welcoming, as a sign of showing that you want someone to be refreshed, and you wash their feet. So they brought water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. That's how we know he wasn't by himself. He had other servants with him. And then food was set before him to eat. But look at him. His heart, he's not thinking about himself. You think he's hungry? Of course he's hungry, but he will not put himself first. He's not going to eat until this matter in his heart is fully settled. He wants to finish his master's business first. Seek ye. Can I say this something? You know why some of us aren't having God's blessing? Because you won't put God first. God's not first. It's that if you have time, you'll come to church. If something else doesn't inconvenience you, you'll be here. But God's not first. God's not first, and you won't ever have this kind of life until God's first in everything. Everything. When you're sick, when you're weak, when you're poor, God's first, God's first, God's first, God's first. I'm going crazy. But you know what? You want to get out of the pit? Put God first. Put Him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. That's what we need to do. Look at this man. No wonder he's chosen by Abraham. You know, it's like this man wouldn't be the servant who only got the one talent, would he? That's remember the servant who got the one talent? He's the one that said, I knew you to be a hard man. And that, you know, we don't give God the scraps and expect Him to give us His best, do we? I'll give God the leftovers. If I have time and if it's convenient, I'll serve the Lord. And then we want His blessing? Ooh. That's kind of deceptive, isn't it? That's not a way to... If you want God's blessing, He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so he is going to finish his master's business first. And so they gave him permission. Laban's brother gave him permission. Speak on. So he said, I'm Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he has given him flocks and herds. Isn't that beautiful? He's acknowledging where every bit of the wealth and riches Abraham has obtained has come from. The servant is giving God credit, not even Abraham. He's not saying he's just a good... He's a good manager. He is saying God has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and male and female servants and camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old. And to him he has given all that he has. Now my master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But you shall go to my father's house and to my family and take a wife for my son. And I said to my master, perhaps the woman will not follow me. But he said to me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with you and prosper your way. And did he? Yes. Absolutely he did. Abraham knew God. Abraham was called the friend of God. Abraham expected God to help. And God was faithful. You know, those who look to God for that kind of help receive His help. You know, if we don't look to God that way, He will let us flounder on our own. He will. But for those who look to Him in that way, He's always faithful to them. And He says, and you shall take a wife for my son from my family and my father's house. He wanted it to be from kinfolk. The servant related what Abraham had told him, and you will be clear from this oath when you arrive among my family, for if they will not give her to you, then you will be released from my oath. So now you know what's on his mind, don't you? He wants to settle the question. It's not all done, is it? This appears to be the one. She gave him a drink. She voluntarily watered all his camels. She happened to be the daughter of Bethuel, the wife she was from the right family. I don't remember all the names in order sometimes. But now he wants to know, is the whole story, is it going to be that she's going to come back? And this day I came to the well and said, so he tells them the testimony. He's going to give them the testimony of what went on. O Lord God of my master Abraham, if you will now prosper the way in which I go, behold, I stand by the well of the water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin comes out the water, and I say to her, please give me a little water from your pitcher to drink, and she says to me, drink, and I will draw for your camels. Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. He's relating them the testimony of what he went through. And so he testifies to what he has witnessed. He shared with them exactly how it happened. And he even says, before I had finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebecca coming out with her pitcher on her shoulder. And she went down to the well and drew water. And I said to her, please let me drink. And she made haste. She ran, remember? And let her pitcher down from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give your camels a drink also. So he finished his testimony, and very encouraged by faith, he boldly asked what's on his heart. Now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or the left. He's thinking, I need to know what I'm to do now, and it's in your court. Here's what I witnessed. Here's what I believe God has done. It's in your court. And look what, and then Laban and Bethuel. Bethuel is Laban's mom and Rebekah's mom. Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you either bad or good. They were so aware that God had been at work so far that they were just saying, what can we say? It's so evident that God has done this. We can't say anything. Here is Rebecca before you. Take her and go and let her be your master's son's wife. As, look what they said, the Lord has spoken. Wow. There's no argument there. Everyone was a witness of God's hand by the way this came about. And you know, where's the romance in this story? Look at our wonderful culture and look how romantic our culture is and look at our marriage rate. Look at the divorce rate in our culture. This was an arranged marriage. Doesn't mean their romance won't come, but it's not a part at all at this point, is it? Not at all. Did you know that in our country, people still get married before they've even held hands? It happened with several of my children. The first kiss was at the altar. It still happens. It just depends upon if you live that way. And if you raise your family that way, and they were not, but this is wonderful because this marriage is going to be arranged, but it's not going to be forced. It's not going to be forced because look at the next part of the scripture says, and it came to pass when Abraham's servant heard their words that he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Again, when they said, take Rachel, he has his answer. He's going to be able to go back. And he's overwhelmed with a sense of what God has done. God has brought it completely about now. And he bows and he worships the Lord first. And then he does what he knows his master would do. He is going to bless this family with a display of all the blessings that God has blessed Abraham with. And he brought out jewelry of silver and jewelry of gold and clothing and gave them to Rebecca first. And then he also gave precious things to her brother and her mother. Pretty wise, wasn't he? And he and the men who were with then, notice that, after all of this, then. And then he and the men who were with him ate and drank, and they stayed all night. Then they arose in the morning, and he said, send me away to my master. Now, if you know something about Eastern hospitality, normally they could have stayed there for days and been treated like this every day. They could have had a feast just about every day. This man has just come from 25 days from or so on a caravan with camels. And he has one night's rest and a good meal, and he's ready to go back. Does that show you something about his heart? His heart is towards his master. Oh, you know, God knows when our hearts are really towards him. He can see the heart. It's not about what you're doing. It's not about whether you're smoking a cigarette. It's not whether you're drinking a drink. It's not whether you're taking a drug. Oh, he can see those things. You know what it's really about? Is it your heart for him? You live for him. Do you care about him? Is it his honor, his will, his kingdom? If he knows. If you're giving, yeah, everyone wants to be good. So what? So what? That's not spiritual. Everyone tries to do what's right. So what? That's not having a heart for God. Having a heart for God is this kind of life where God is first. Your master is first. Completing his will is first. And that, and you know what's amazing? Is that's what's giving this servant joy. He's not doing it out of obligation. That's what makes this servant go. That's his motivation. He loves doing this. He wouldn't have been happy the other day sitting there just indulging himself. He is filled with the anticipation of being a blessing to his master. And that's the way to live. That's the way to serve the Lord. But her brother and her mother, oh, wait a minute, this is awful fast. You show up one day, we're giving our daughter to you and my sister to you, and you're just going to go? So they said, let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10, and after that she may go. Well, 10 days would mean 10 days of feasting for these guys. 10 days of being taken care of by, and after all, they've been almost a month on the road, you know? And he said to them, do not hinder me. Since the Lord has prospered my way, this is the servant speaking, send me away so that I may go to my master. Oh. You know, sometimes I get invited to do something. Seems like it's enjoyable. You know, I have a lot of joy in saying, nope, sorry, I'm busy. You know, do people ever invite you? Hey, why don't you come over this morning? It happens to be Sunday morning. Hey, we're going to the park. We're going to have a picnic. Come on, go with us. You know what I would do? I'd joyfully say, sorry, I already have somewhere I'm going. I'm going to the house of the Lord, and I'm going to worship him, and I'm going to bless him, and I'm going to have more fun there than you are at your picnic. Honestly. They're people, they're going to do their thing. Their weekends are their time. They're for their day. Sunday's the only day of the week I get to sleep in. Haven't you heard it? You know what? Look, it's when your heart is toward the Lord in that way. It's what he looks upon. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord look to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking to show himself mighty in behalf of someone whose heart is perfect towards him. To have this kind of heart is something that we should want to discover. And I know I need to wrap this up. So they said, this is why I said, the marriage was arranged, but it's not forced. Look at this. So they said, we will call the young woman and ask her personally. Then they called Rebecca and said to her, will you go with this man? And she, what did she say? I will go. So they sent away Rebecca, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men, and they blessed Rebecca and said to her, our sister, may you become the mother of thousands, of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them. They give her this blessing, and off they go. And Rebekah, her maids arose, and they rode on camels, and followed the man. So he was walking. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. And now Isaac had come from the way of Beer Lahoi Roy, for he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening. It's interesting how God is working at both ends. So God draws him out, and he's having them come back. And he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. Then Rebekah lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel, for she had said to the servant, who is this man walking in the field to meet us? And the servant says, it is my master. So she took a veil and covered herself. Very modest, very proper. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her, Rebekah, into his mother Sarah's tent. And he took Rebekah and she became his wife. And he loved her. There's a romance. Isn't it beautiful? Right place, right time. And so Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Amazing story, isn't it? Isn't that an amazing story? It's just beautiful. And I hope we can learn from this that to have this kind of heart for God is what will bring us into the place where we experience this kind of blessing in the Lord, okay?